So I was thinking about this gift that we had up here for the kids to look at for a few minutes, and, you know, thinking about what's inside it. And so just going to think about that for a few minutes here this morning. And I was thinking how gift giving is often symbolic, you know, where a gift is meaning something in particular, and more so in the past than it is now. And what made me think of that was an old book that I have. And so I have this book that's called Our Deportment, written printed in 1883. So this is a book that's 134 years old. And it's talking about manners in the world at that time, kind of, right? And in the back of it, one of the things that it has is it's called The Language of Flowers. And talking about what flowers mean, and, you know, all of the meaning of flowers and that kind of stuff. And some of them we know, you know, like, for example, when you think about a rose, you think about love, right? Okay, and so that's kind of what a rose means. But, you know, in this book, it talks about other flowers. One of them talks about a Carolina rose, whatever that is. And it says the meaning, if you give someone a Carolina rose, it means that our love is dangerous, okay? And so the meaning of flowers is quite deep, and there's lots to it. But there's a few other ones that I wanted to read in here for you. So if you give somebody a cedar, a sprig, like a branch from a cedar tree, it means, I live for you. And you can remember these things, right? Okay. There's about 10 pages of them, so we won't read them all. If you give someone currants, it means that you pleased me. Okay. Or if you give them a wild daisy, it means, I'll think about it. Okay. If you give them a nutmeg geranium, whatever that is, it means, I expect a meeting soon. Okay. So people used to know what these things meant when they handed them to people. Okay. If you give them French marigold, it means that I'm jealous. Okay. What other ones did I have here? If you give them peach blossom, it means my heart is yours. Okay? Or if you give them a pine branch, it means farewell. This is the end. Okay? There's a couple other good ones in here. Thought I'd mark some more. Anyways, the one that I was thinking about the most of all this list of flowers was a flower called the Star of Bethlehem. Okay? And if you give someone that, it means I want to make things right with you. It's the flower of reconciliation. And so I was thinking about that, because that's what that star signified so long ago, that the wise men that we just heard the story from just a few minutes ago. That's what that star did. It was God bringing us back together, because the gift that he gave us did that. It's the thing that brings us back together, is the gift of his love. He said, I love you enough to give you me. Nothing but the best for you. And for a little special, little extra touch, I'll even make myself totally dependent on you. And so that's what he did, was when he came as a little baby. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, it says, he loved us and gave himself for us. And not just at Bethlehem, but all the way to Calvary. To be our Savior. And so that was his gift, his gift of love for us. And so in response to that, often, you know, we get a gift from somebody and we want to give them something back. And so we can give him a gift as well. And we'll get to that in just a few minutes. I just want to read to you a couple of, excuse me. This is from an old Ann Landers column. You remember Ann Landers? I'm the advice giver, and this was just some church bloopers, okay, and we're going to get back to that in just a minute, but this is from some church bulletins. We'll see if Trish gets any of these in ours. And the first one says, don't let worry kill you, let the church help. Okay. Or remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church and community. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, what is hell? come early and listen to our choir practice. Okay, the eighth graders will be performing Shakespeare's Hamlet in the church basement on Friday. The congregation is invited to attend this tragedy. I was thinking of the letters that we see in the newspaper every year, right? That it was just this past week and the week before where we had got the letters that they write, the letters to Santa, you know, all those ones. And so here's a few of those that I wanted to read, but I couldn't not share those lovely church bloopers with you. Dear Santa, I am six. How are you doing? And your reindeer? I'm being a good boy and my sisters, and can you please bring me a Digimon game? And I do have a baby sister. It is from Austin, your friend Austin. This is from Austin, signed Austin. Didn't want the stuff to go to the wrong place, right? Dear Santa, how are you? I hope you make it for the trip. How is Rudolph? I like how you go, ho, ho, ho. I will have cookies and milk out. I have a 12 Days of Christmas book. I like everybody at the North Pole. My family is good. I am good. My sister is good. My brother is good. My mom is good. My dad is good. My friends are good. I hope Mrs. Claus is well. I will give anything to ride on the sled. I want my family to have a very Merry Christmas. We are good. Not on the naughty list, obviously. Dear Santa, I want some Star Wars toys. I want X-Men and a bicycle, and I want some X-Men movies and a startup, Steve. I'm a boy. My name is Scott. I go to school in Vimy. Santa, can you bring me a lamp for my mom and something for my dad? And that's a gun, a real one, for Dad to shoot deer. My dad is going to shoot normal deer, not your reindeer. And the last one here. I've been a good boy. I would like Lego Knight's Kingdom, a Hot Wheels tune-up shop, NASCAR, start your engine, a Max Steel 25 attack jet. Okay, you can see his orientation. Thinking about that, though, you know, and those kind of things, you probably remember writing something like that, you know, at some point in your life, this is the things that I want, you know, and so on. And then in another book, I came across another one, and it said, so what do you get for the person who has everything? What if they own the cattle on 1,000 hills? And it was a neat little thing to read that, you know, because God has everything, so what could we possibly give to God, right? As I said earlier, when Jesus came to earth as a baby that first Christmas morning, he came to be our Savior, and that was his gift for us, the gift in that box. So that not only was he just going to be a baby, but he came to give us the chance for eternal life, the chance to live with God in heaven forever. So in a nutshell, when Jesus came, he was saying, I love you. I love you. And all he wants us to say back is, I love you. So this Christmas, if you're wanting to give Jesus a present and you don't know what to give him yourself. Let's just pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you loved us so much and you sent us this gift of the person of Jesus that shows us your love for us, but someone who came not just to be a baby, but to one day die and make us so that we could be your own. We thank you so much for that and this time to remember it this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Danielle's going to come and read to us the rest of the story.
All right, I'm going to read from Luke 2, 1 to 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and laying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was laying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread word concerning what had been told to them about the child. And all those who heard this were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
The music team comes up here, and we're going to sing another song. So because of that story that we have been hearing this morning, we can sing this song together. So rise with us, please, as we sing "Joy to the World."
Hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the comes to make his blessings flow. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the name the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Well, thank you for being with us here this morning, and have a blessed Christmas.